on the regular day, 4 to 1. Some people ask if I could speak about Inyani Eretz Yisrael. Some Inyani Eretz Yisrael I think people are familiar with. The Torah tells us that Eretz Yisrael has a Kedusha. And it's different. Kedusha means that something has special meaning. When you say a Jewish person has Kedusha, it means Kedushan of the Mitzvot of the Tzivan. You're obligated to observe mitzvahs. When you say a Kohen has Kedusha's Kuhuna, or a Levi has Kedusha's Leviya. So you're assuming that the Kohanim have special mitzvahs that the Israelim don't have. The Kohen Gadol has more Kedusha than the Kohen Hedyot Kedusha. And it's different. Different HaKedusha means that something has special meaning. When you say a Jewish person has Kedusha, it means Kedushan of the Mitzvot of the Tzivan. You're obligated to observe mitzvahs. When you say a Kohen has Kedusha's Kuhuna, or a Levi has Kedusha's Leviya. So you're assuming that the Kohanim have special mitzvahs that the Israelim don't have. The Kohen Gadol has more Kedusha than the Kohen Hedyot, means that he has special mitzvahs that the Kohanim Hedyotim don't have. When you say that Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha, you say Makom HaMikdash has Kedusha, Yerushalayim has Kedusha, you mean that there are special mitzvahs that apply there that don't apply in other locations. And the Gemara has a Machlokes HaTanaim, whether the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael disappeared after the Korban HaBayis, and we assume that it did not. We assume that although the Kedusha Rishayna was only Kitchel and Shaita, but like Kitchel Asi Lavoi, Kedusha Rishayna that was created by Yeshua Ben Nun when he conquered Eretz Yisrael and he divided the land of Shvatim, only less than until the Chodin Bayis Rishon, but Kedusha Shniyah, we assume La Halacha, most of the Rishonim assume is Kitchel Asi Lavoi. We assume Eretz Yisrael has a Kedusha Min HaTorah Bizman HaZeh, and we're obligated to observe all the special agricultural mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael Min HaTorah. The Gemara says that Yovel is an exception to the rule, despite the fact that Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha, we don't have any Yovel today, because a condition in observance of Yovel is Kol Yoshvehu Aleho. You have to have all the people who are supposed to be living in Eretz Yisrael are supposed to be living there. All the people are supposed to be living in Eretz Yisrael, all those who are living in Chutzlan. All those people are supposed to be living in Eretz Yisrael. So because they're not there, so that's why you don't have Kol Yoshvehu Aleho, so that's why there's no observance of Yovel. There's another reason, Rab Chaim writes in his Sefer, there's another reason why there's no observance of Yovel Aleho, because there's no Bezen counting. Yovel doesn't happen by itself. Yovel, you have to have a Bezen on Yovel counting the years. Then the Kiddash to Mishnas HaMishim Shana, then the Bezen has to declare, this is the Mishnas HaMishim Shana. Yeah. So we have no Bezen on Yovel. And we don't have Rav Yoshvehu Aleho. You don't have Kol Yoshvehu Aleho. And of course it says, of course, Ukras M'Dror Baruch L'Chol Yoshvehu. So if you don't have the majority, even when we have the majority of the world Jewish population living in Eretz Yisrael, according to what Rav Chaim understands in his Sefer, as long as you don't have a Bezna Baruch that's able to count the years of Shemitah and Yovel, then we're not going to have the Yovel. That's why we assume there's a further machlokes HaTanaim, whether Shemitah is deraisa, bizman she'ein ha'yovel noyim, whether Shemitah is deraisa, machlokes HaTanaim, quoted in the Gemara in the beginning of Moed Katan, and of Gimel, and in the middle of Gittin, and of Lamed Zayin, machlokes Rebbe, and the Chachamim Rebbe's opinion is the generally accepted opinion, al pi pashtus, that we assume that Shemitah bizman hazeh is only the Rabbanim. That's what most of the Rishonim assume. There is a minority opinion of possibly like the Chachamim, should have been like the Chachamim, Yochid v'rab malachat kirab, but you have some in Mishnayis that seem to assume that Shemitah b'zman hazeh is only the Rabban. So most of the Poskim assume that Shemitah b'zman hazeh is also only the Rabban, because the Pesuk in the beginning of Bahar seem to imply that you only observe Shemitah when it's going to lead up to Yovel. And Shemitah is not going to lead up to Yovel, so you don't even have any Shemitah. But basically, leaving out this issue, the issue of the Yovel and the issue of the Shemitah, the Kedusha Eretz Yisrael is the right, and the mitzvahs have to be observed in a third. Rav Chaim has another comment to explain the Rambam, that because there's no Yovel and therefore there's no Shemitah in a third, so therefore there's no Trumas and Maisus either. Because Trumas and Maisus depend, you have to know which year of the Shemitah cycle you're in. Is it the first year? Is it the second year? Is it the third year? There's a difference between the second year and the third year. The second year is Maisa Sheni, the third year is Maisa Rani. There's a difference in the first year and the second year. Even though the Haproshas are identical, but you cannot be Mafish Mishana Al-Havatos. You have to determine which year you're holding by. What year are you in order to know what Haproshas to do. So in principle, we assume Eretz Yisrael has a Kedusha, as a Kedusha Saret, but we say, for technical reasons, We don't want to point the finger who's guilty, but because we don't have Kol Yashrei Aleha, there are some people who are not in Eretz Yisrael supposed to be there, so therefore we don't have any Yovel, therefore we don't have any Shemitah, and therefore we don't have any Shumas and Maisim. But basically, the Kedushas Eretz is there. So with respect to what is a Kedushas Eretz, but like a Chikro Peya, okay? Like a Chikro Peya, Peret and all those, the things that some of the farmers don't observe, the Rabbanut doesn't mefakech on that. The Rabbanut does only mefakech on the Chumas and Maisis, because that makes tevil. So if you don't mafresh Chumas and Maisis, the food is also b'achil. If you don't give like a chikr pei, you're only a ganach. So that's not so bad, so you're a ganach. You're not mekayim the mitzvah of like a chikr pei, you're a grand gneiva. So that the Rabbanut is not achroi on that. They're only achroi on things that make treif v'dievet. So that, these in Yonim, I think everybody's familiar with, that we assume that Kedusha, Shni, or Kitcha, Lassi. Well, Eretz Yisrael has a Kedusha. But that's not what people are observing or celebrating this season of the year. That's an old story from the days of Ezra. That has nothing to do with this period of the year. People are celebrating this season of the year, the Inyan of the Medina, Medina Yisrael. So what does the Medina Yisrael mean to a religious Jew? We don't count the 50th year as a blank year.
Right.
We do not do that, yes.
So
doesn't that impact on which year should be the Shemitah year and the following year? If you have a Bez Nagodol, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik writes in the Sefer HaNerachim, if you have a Bez Nagodol counting, and they counted, apparently we assume that to have Shemitah, you don't have to have a Bez Nagodol counting. That happens by itself, like Shabbos happens by itself. But to have Yovel declared as a separate year, a blank year, not part of the 7777, but that you need a Bez Nagodol counting. So that we don't have any Bez Nagodol. We haven't had for quite a while. So the Yovel doesn't happen by itself. And the Shemitah does happen by itself. But even the Shemitah happening by itself is only mid the Rabbanon. That's the Machlokes Rebbe and the Chacham. We assume it's only the Rabbanon. Because we know in advance that we're missing the conditions of Kol Yashrei Aleha. We're missing the condition that is necessary to observe the Yovel. So that's why even the 7-7, the Shemitah itself, we assume is only Midrabban. The majority of the representatives, there is a significant minority who assume that Shemitah is Manazah, is their Isa, like the Chachamim, the Rebbe. In fact, the Keset Mishnah and the Rambam, in the Keset Mishnah there are contradictions. In some places he writes that the Rambam's opinion is that Shemitah is Manazah is Min HaTorah. In other places he writes, no, that the Rambam's opinion is that Shemitah is Manazah is only Midrabban. The contradiction in Keset Mishnah. Obviously he changed his mind over the years. It took him many years to write the Kes Mishnah. He changed his mind. So what's celebrated today is not so much Eretz Yisrael, Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. That's a marvelous thing. That's as old as the hills, Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael's been around for a long time. That didn't come into existence in Tavshin Ches. Like the Kedushas HaTorah is around. Okay. So the Kedusha of Tefillin, Kedusha Mezuzah. So the Kedusha Eretz Yisrael is around for a long time. The celebration is about the Medina, so the question is, what is the significance of the Medina, if any? And why do other people refuse to celebrate, refuse to observe anything in connection with the Medina? See, it's a historical issue. You have to know the history of HaKadmas HaMedina. So first of all, before you people were born, there was a Holocaust, where millions and millions of people were killed, and millions of Jews were killed. And during the years that the Nazis were killing all the Jews, none of the nations of the world were interested in saving the Jews. But they were interested in saving their own skin. So when Hitler became too powerful, and he was going to take over the whole world, so then the nations of the world decided they want to save their own skin. So after they saved themselves, and the Germans lost the war, and there were thousands and thousands, I don't know the numbers, there were thousands, they were not millions, but there were thousands and thousands of several hundred thousand Jews in the displaced persons camps, the DP camps. The nations of the world were still not interested in taking care of the Jews. Nobody wanted to let the Jews in. So after the war was over, and Hitler was gone, and the Nazis were gone, the Jewish people, the Jewish refugees, the Jews in the DP camps, still had no place to go. They were still not taken care of. No country in the world wanted to let them in. America would take in a few, five Jews a year. Britain would take in five Jews a year. Britain was in charge of Eretz Yisrael, so they also wouldn't let in too many Jews. And with all the pressuring and pressuring, nothing helped. And the only thing that saved the Jews at that time, that they had an opportunity to go somewhere, was when they established Medina Sisson, it was under Jewish control. So they said, they're opening up the gates, whoever is Jewish can come in. So that's where all the Jews went. In fact, when the Jews were in the DP camps after the war, so they were filling out questionnaires and they were asked where they're interested in going, what country in the world do they want to go to. So they said, write your first choice, second choice, third choice, whatever. So many, many thousands, I think more than 50% of them could be, they wrote, first choice was Palestine, the second choice was crematorium. If they won't let them go back to Eretz Yisrael, they won't let them live there itself, they'd rather go back to the crematorium, they'd rather die. Because they saw that no one is interested in taking care of the Jews. So the establishment of Medina Yisrael was Pashat HaHatzolah for all of those hundreds of thousands of Jews in the DP camps. And this nobody can deny, this is documented, that it took quite a long time. From the time the war was over until HaKamas HaMedina, it took a few years. And in those years, nobody was taking care of these people. And the American government, the American army was in charge of these DP camps, and the congressman kept on going over to visit and to see, and they saw that it was terrible, and garnished, and nothing happened. And they were complaining, and the President of the United States, Truman, fired a big general because he didn't listen to General Patton, whatever his name was. It was headlines in the New York Times at that time. He fired the general because he didn't listen to the instructions that he gave on garnish, and it kept on going like that. They still didn't improve the conditions of the Jews in the DP camps, and it was still miserable. They still were not taken care of. Nothing got taken care of until they established the Medina. Then the Jews went to Eretz Yisrael. So this was simply, people felt that this was the fulfillment of the promise that the Torah said in the end of Hazinu, the end of Shiras Hazinu. So towards the end of Hazinu, it says a prophecy about this terrible Holocaust that's going to take place. And then the concluding pasuk is, V'chiper Admasai Amar. So Rashi translates Pshat to the pasuk, V'chiper HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Mephayes. He will appease his nation and he will appease Eretz Yisrael. V'chiper, after this whole tragedy of the Holocaust will occur, V'chiper Admasai Amar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will appease his Jewish people. It was like a Tchias HaMeisim on the Jewish people. The second Indian in HaKamas HaMedina was V'chiper Admasai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had appeased Eretz Yisrael, Palestine at that time. I mean, little boy was known as Palestine. Palestine was in a state of desolation. And the Pesukim in the Chumash say that the Jews were chased out of Eretz Yisrael, and think of Mepnei Chatoinu Galinu Mi'atzenu. The Jews were sent into exile because of their sins. But Eretz Yisrael was given over to the Umas Olam, to those who were harassing us, who were killing us, but nothing ever grew, called man, that it was under non-Jewish control. Rashi quotes from the Tanraim commenting on the pasuk in the Teichachem B'chukaisai, V'shamamu aleho oivechem, that when the oivim were in control of Eretz Yisrael, the whole land was like a midbash mama, nothing ever grew. They never succeeded in making anything good. It was a desolation. And only after the Bnei Yisrael came and they started planting and plowing and harvesting and everything, so then things started to grow. And they built up and they paved highways and they built houses and they built cities. And everything grew up. You people were born, there already was a whole fully prepared Medina. But when I was a little boy, it was a desolate place. It was a Midbash Mama. And this is what the Gemara says in the end of Sanhedrin. That the Gemara quotes a pasuk in the Navi Yecheskel where the pasuk says, the Navi tells the trees, hurry Israel, the mountains of Eretz Israel should grow peiros, and the trees should grow, and the peiros should grow, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has brought Bnei Israel back to Eretz Israel. So the Gemara quotes that pasuk and they comment, Ein lecha keitz megula mizeh. When you see this happening, so you see that that's the end of the Golus. So that's what the Gdolim said, that's what the Chazon Ish, and all the Gdolim said, that Eretz Israel was beginning to flourish, everything was growing. So he said that that's the end of the Golus. That the Nevuahs of the prophets were being, we saw the prophecies were being fulfilled. that there was a Shivas Tzion. What is Shivas Tzion? Shivas Tzion is on the Yisrael. What's the Indian of Shivas Tzion? There's an Indian that the Jews are supposed to be living in Eretz Yisrael. There is such a mitzvah, a Yish of Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban writes it as one of the Minyan HaMitzvahs, and he picks on the Rambam. He asks why the Rambam didn't mention it in the Minyan HaMitzvah. So some Achrayim, the Knesset HaGdolah quotes the Knesset HaGdolah as a Likud of Achrayim on the tour. The Beis Yosef wrote a Likud of Rishayim and Achrayim that were up until his time, and then the Knesset HaGdolah wrote a Likud from the days of the Beis Yosef till his time, and then the Chidor wrote a Likud from the days of the Knesset HaGdolah till his time. Likutei Bosa Likutei, like Rishlokish said, we had yesterday. So the Knesset HaGdolah is one of the Sifri HaLikutim on the tour. So the Knesset HaGdolah quotes in Ebenezer, and it's similar about HaKol Malam L'Eretz Yisrael. The Mishnah in the end of Ksupis formulates it then. The Mishnah in Ksupis Afayin Beis says that whenever a man divorces his wife, he has to pay his wife Ksupis. Either it's a Din Min HaTorah, there's a minority opinion among the Tanon that Ksupis Derais and we paskin, the Rabbin and Tam paskin like that, we paskin that Ksupis Lav Derais. We paskin the whole idea of Ksupis Shloitei Kalabiyan of L'Hotziah. It's a takana of the Rabbanon, the husband has to take ksuba, that the wife should feel secure in the marriage, that he shouldn't be able to dump her so easily, so readily. If he wants to get rid of her, he has to pay. But that's only by medvam amurim, if it's his decision or it's his fault. What if it's her fault? She's a miserable witch. She doesn't want to go to mikveh. She doesn't want to have any children. She doesn't act sneezdik, whatever. She's cursing him. She's cursing the shviga. She's a miserable wife. So the Mishnah and Daf Ayin Beis and ksuba give you a list of things. Well, we pin the blame on the wife and we say that it's her fault for destroying the marriage. Let's say the wife is mizana tachas bailam. So the husband can't live with his wife. That's the end. She destroyed the marriage. So then the husband divorces and he doesn't have to pay any ksuba. It's not his fault. It wasn't his decision. He has no choice. He has to divorce her. Or if she's a miserable cook. Whatever. The Mishnah gives you a whole list of cases where it's the fault of the wife. We can pin the blame on the wife for ruining the marriage, and then the halacha says that the husband doesn't have to pay her the ksubah. So the Mishnah in the end of ksubah discusses the following case. Let's say a husband and a wife, a couple gets married, they live in Teaneck. And the wife decides, okay, darling, I'm moving to Eretz Yisrael. Goodbye. Either come along or give me a get. So he says, what are you, crazy? He's making millions of dollars over here. He's in some kind of a business over here. We never spoke about living in Eretz Yisrael. She says, well, I'm leaving. She's leaving and she gives him a prayer. Either he divorces her or he comes along. So he says, I'll divorce you, but you're crazy. I'm not going to give you a get. You destroyed the marriage. You're Meshuggah. You decided to move to Eretz Yisrael. So the Mishnah says in the end of Ksubis that it's not considered. Doesn't fall under the Mishnah and Dafayin Beis. And whenever the wife is at fault for ruining the marriage, then she forfeits her Ksubis. She's not entitled to Ksubis. Whichever spouse makes a decision that they want to live in Eretz Yisrael, that's the normal decision, and the one who doesn't want to go along is considered the Meshuggah, and the one who refuses to go to Eretz Yisrael is the one who's responsible for ruining the marriage. Even though before they got married they never spoke about Eretz Yisrael, they never dreamt about it, they planned to stay over here in America. Nonetheless, that's what it says in the Mishnah. So there's a whole discussion in that Mishnah, the Anik Subas, about the significance and the importance of living in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam quotes all the dinim, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes all the dinim. If you want to find this din in Eretz Yisrael, where does it say there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael? It's Man Hazeh. So you'll find it in Ebenezer, in the middle of Hilchas Ksubis. This is the context where it appears in the Mishnah at the end of Ksubis. This is the context where the Shulchan Aruch quotes it. One could have imagined a better place to put it in the Shulchan Aruch, but that's it. The Shulchan Aruch put it out of order. Shulchan Aruch put it back in the order that it appears in the Gemara. The Rambam put it in order. The Rambam puts it in Hilchos Malachim, that you have a right to live in any country you want, but especially Eretz Yisrael, and not Mitzrayim. And the Rambam puts all these halachas together. Which part of the globe should the Jews live in? So he says Eretz Yisrael, and preferably you should have a Jewish government there, and you shouldn't live in Egypt, and then if the husband wants to go here, wife wants to go there. So he puts it in one place altogether. And in the Shulchan Aruch, they only put it in Hilchas Ishus, in Hilchas Ksubis. So that's where it appears in the Mishnah. So the Knesset HaGdolah comes to defend the Rambam. Why? From the Ramban's Kasha. Why didn't the Rambam count this as one of the Taryag Mitzvahs, and it's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael? So he quotes Achrayim, who say that perhaps the Rambam's opinion is that it's only a mitzvah of the Rabban. The Rambam has a klal in the Sefer Mitzvahs. He writes 14 Sharashim, the first half of the Sefer Mitzvahs. So he writes, he's only going to count mitzvahs deraisa, so he's not going to include mitzvahs derabbanan. So perhaps the Rambam's opinion is that the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is only derabbanan. Most of the Achronim assume that that's really a doichik. Very not the mashman the Rambam, very not the mashman the Gemara, very not the mashman the Chumash. When the Rabban Shalom told the Rambam Avinu, lech lecha miyartcham l'artcha l'aretz asher areka, that wasn't the Rabban Shalom speaking. The Rabban Shalom, no, that's a din deraisa. And started from Parshas Lech Lecha till the end of the Chumash. He keeps on saying, I want everybody to go to Eretz Yisrael. I want everybody to go to Eretz Yisrael. So why shouldn't that be a din deraisa? The Pashto says that it certainly is a din deraisa. The Pella is why the Rambam didn't count it in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. That's the Rambam's kasha. So a lot of Achareidim say, it must be, the explanation must be based on the other klolim that the Rambam wrote. The Rambam has the 14 sharashim, the 14 klolim that guide him to determine what belongs in the Minyan HaMitzvahs and what not. So the Rambam says whatever is a mitzvah klol is, whatever is a general mitzvah doesn't belong in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. So many Achareidim write that perhaps this mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael is considered a mitzvah klol is. Those who live in Eretz Yisrael are part of Klal Yisrael. Those who don't live in Eretz Yisrael are not part of Klal Yisrael. We spoke about it on different occasions. So maybe the Rambam held that that's a mitzvah klol is. It's not a separate mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. You should live in Eretz Yisrael in order to be part of Klal Yisrael. But living in Eretz Yisrael enhances the observance of all the mitzvahs. You observe Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael, it's more of a kiyum than if you observe Shabbos in Chutz Lars. When you observe Tefillin and Mezuzah in Eretz Yisrael, it's more of a kiyum than observing Tefillin and Mezuzah in Chutz Lars. Rashi, in fact, in his commentary on Chumash, on the Parashas Kriya Shema, writes, "Oksaf ma Mezuzah Beisecha B'sharecha," appears at the end of the first Parashas Shema, at the end of Ahayom Shema as well. At the end of Ahayom Shema, it follows Golus. It says, "Bechorach Hashem Bechem," Kodesh Baruch will get angry if you worship Abba Dizar. If you do Averus, he will send you into Golos. So Rashi quotes from the Sifrei on that Pasuk from the Tanakh that even when you live in Chutz Lartz, you should still continue to observe Tefillin and Mezuzah. What's the Chiddush? That even in Chutz Lartz, it's a Chavis Aguf. So Rashi quotes the Pasuk in Navi, Hatzivi Lach Tziyunim. The Navi Yirmiyah tells Bnei Yisrael that they should try to remember and reminisce about the mitzvahs that they have to observe in Eretz Yisrael. They should try to make a zeicha to all of those mitzvahs. Like we have, the Gemara says that the Sphere Simon Bizman is as Midirabbanan, it's a zeicha l'migdash. We have a lot of mitzvahs like that are zeicha l'migdash. So Rashi, in effect, is quoting from the Tanoim that we should continue to observe Tefillin and Mezuzah and Chutz Loretz, a zeicha l'Eretz Yisrael. The real place for Tefillin and Mezuzah is in Eretz Yisrael. And the Chutz Loretz, it's only that we should remember what the mitzvahs are like so that when we come back to Eretz Yisrael, it shouldn't be brand new. We shouldn't be shocked by the Tefillin and Mezuzah. So the Ramban in his commentary on Chumash talks about that. What do you mean? What do you mean? Tefillin and Mezuzah is a Chavis Aguf. It's not a Chavis Karka. It's not an agricultural mitzvah. The agricultural mitzvahs only apply in Eretz Yisrael. And the fact that we today are Mafish Chalav and Chutz Lartz, that's only Medirabbanan Zeichel Shalot Yishtakach Taras Chalav. So as he writes in the end of the first Perek in Kedushin. You shouldn't forget the whole mitzvah of Chalav. For 2,000 years, the Jews weren't living in Eretz Yisrael. So we're going to forget the mitzvah. So Shalot Yishtakach Mitzvah Chalav. So the Chachamim introduced Chalav Chutz Lartz. They introduced Shumas and Maisus and Chutz Lartz, Baros and Sasmuchos Lartz Yisrael also. But to say that you have to have Tefillin and Mezuzah and Chutz Lartz in order that things should be Chadoshim B'Yeinechem when you return back to Eretz Yisrael, what has it got to do with Tzivilach Tziyunim? That's not a Zeicha to Eretz Yisrael. That's a real bona fide mitzvah and atar. So the Ramban there and in other places develops his theory. That the Yikar Malkam Peshmiris and Mitzvahs is really an Eretz Yisrael. But his Baruch is referred to as Elokei Ha'aretz in Sefer Malachim. When the Kusim were transported from Eretz Kusa to Eretz Yisrael, so they still practiced Avodah Zarah, and the lions came to attack them. And there are no lions in Eretz Yisrael. So this is a wild thing. Where did the lions come from? So they understood that this is Epis Min HaShamayim, that the Jewish God is Elokei HaAretz, he's the God in Eretz Yisrael, so you have to, if you want to live in Eretz Yisrael, you've got to live by his rules. So they converted, officially they converted. It was like today's conversion. There was no Kabbalah on mitzvahs, they didn't mean anything. It says as Elohim, how you open them, they still continue to worship Avodah Zarah, and that Geirus was taken not valid. It was Dvar Metalim, Pesach points out. The original Geirus that the Kusim did was absolutely worthless. Mechol Adayis, that's not a dispute. Gemara has a machlokes. Whether the conversion that the Kusim had was a valid Geirus or not a valid Geirus, so Pesach says that's a historical machlokes, not a halachic machlokes. Was there a point in history after the original Geirus described in Sefer Melachim at which time they were Megayra a second time with the Kabbalah on this, but the first conversion that's described in Sefer Melachim says that's absolutely worth it. So for sure there was no Kabbalah on this. A non-Jew says he wants to convert, but he does want to keep any mitzvah. He's going to continue to worship Abba Rizal. Sheikha Chasman HaSefer, except there's no Kabbalah on the Jews, so the Geiris is meaningless. But it did help. It says in the Pesukim, historically it helped. The lion stopped attacking them. So somehow, this idea, this wild idea that they had, that the Jewish God is a Lakeh Haaretz, he's the God of Eretz Yisrael, the God of when you live in Eretz Yisrael, you got to become Jewish, and they converted superficially without a Kabbalah on the Jews, somehow it did help. The lion stopped attacking them. It says in the Pesukim. Apparently this concept, we don't understand fully what it means, but this concept has some validity. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Lakei Horitz. And Eretz Yisrael, the Ramban writes in his brief, in the end of the Mitzvah Saseh, the Rambam has three parts to the Sefer HaMitzvah. The first part he lists off the Yud Dalet Sharoshim, and then the second part of the Sefer HaMitzvah, he lists off the actual Mitzvahs, and that's divided into two parts. He has the Chelek of the Mitzvah Saseh, then the Chelek of the Mitzvah Sloiseh. So the Ramban disagrees every couple of pages with some mitzvah essay or some mitzvah slice essay that the Rambam listed, and he deletes. Every so often he deletes a mitzvah essay. So at the end of the chelik of the mitzvah essay, he has to replace the 17 mitzvahs that he deleted with another 17 mitzvahs that the Rambam forgot to mention. So that everything adds up to the sum total of Taryag. And the listing of the mitzvah slice essay, the Ramban deletes several of the Lavan of the Rambam, so then he has to replace them with other Loises, in which in his opinion the Rambam failed to count, in order that everything should add up to Taryat. So in the end of the Minyan Mitzvah Saseh, Ramban has his list of the 17 mitzvahs that he thinks, Mitzvah Saseh, that he thinks the Rambam forgot to mention. So Mitzvah Saseh Dalet is the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. So he has a short paragraph, not so long there, so he quotes Midrashim that Eretz Yisrael is described as Paltin Shal Melech. It's the palace of the king. And that's what the Avnei Nezer has a long essay about this in the second Chelek Yerideya. The Tshuvas and the Avnei Nezer go in the order of the Shulchan Aruch. So there is no section in Shulchan Aruch about the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. So the Avnei Nezer put his Tshuvas, he was asked to Shaila, is there a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael b'zman hazeh? And if there is, how come the Gedolei HaChasidus didn't go to Eretz Yisrael? The ones who asked him the Shaila were Hasidim. And he was a Chassidish Rebbe also. So that was the second half of the Shaila. Is there a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael? Is there? And his answer was yes. And if there is a mitzvah to live in Tim Sulaiman, that yes, how come the Gedolei HaChassidus didn't go to Eretz Yisrael? So he gives an explanation on that as well. So in the middle of it, says, this Tshuva appears in Chelek Sheni of Yerideya, in the section where Trumas and Mises would be. He lived in Poland, so they didn't ask him any Shailas about Trumas and Mises. They didn't ask him any Shailas on Eretz Yisrael. Only the Jews in Europe asked him Shailas. So in the section where the Yerideh, there would have appeared Hilchas Trumas and Maisis, Simen Shin Lam and Al, in Yerideh, that's where he has Hilchas Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't correspond, in Yerideh, there is no Hilchas Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So he has a little bit of a theme on this, so he points out that if a person is not observant, that the person is a Baal Aveira, plans do not to keep the Mitzvah Sater, plans to continue to do Averas, so he better not go to Eretz Yisrael, he better stay in Chutzlot, because he's going to go to Eretz Yisrael. He's going to be Morid ben Malchus in front of the capital, in front of the palace of the king. Eretz Yisrael is referred to by the Talmud and the Medrash as Paltin Shel Melech. Let's say if a guy lives in New York and he curses at the President of the United States and he curses at the Congress, that's a Hefer Navim. If he's in Washington and he's cursing out in front of the Pentagon, he's cursing out in front of the White House, the government, it's more of a Avera of Morid ben Malchus in front of the government offices. So one who does any Aveira is a Morid ben Malchus. But if you do the Aveira in Eretz Yisrael, anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, that's a bigger Aveira. That's how the Avnei Nezer interprets the Gemara. So the Gemara in last Perek in Brachos interprets various dreams. Gemara says, if you have this kind of a dream, it means this. If you have that kind of a dream, it means that. A lot of interpretations of dreams. So the Gemara has one of the interpretations is that the person sees barley in his dream, I wouldn't even know what barley looks like. So the person lives on a farm, I guess he knows what barley looks like. So if you see barley in your dream, Haraya Sa'orim, you should understand from that what's the interpretation of the dream. Sarav anoscha v'chatoscha techuper. Sa'orim is a simen that you have a mechilas avayna. So one of the Chachamim who lived in Babel was interested in going on Aliyah. He wanted to move to Eretz Yisrael, but he was afraid to go to Eretz Yisrael because he said, well, people do averis, people talk Lashon Hara, and they do little Torah, and they cheat on income tax. People do all kinds of big Averis, little Averis. They don't treat their wives properly. All kinds of Averis people do. So he was afraid to move to Eretz Yisrael because whoever does an Averis in Eretz Yisrael, the Averis is compounded. Not only is he a Morid ben Malchus far away, he's a Morid ben Malchus in the Paltin Shel Melech. Till he had this dream that he saw the barley, And you see, probably this, the interpretation of the dream is so he understood that that's a simon min hashamayim, that he should go to Eretz Yisrael. It does mean that the mitzvah yishuv Eretz Yisrael is only for tzaddikim, it doesn't apply to beninim. But what it means is, v'taki ha'aretz eschem, if you're going to do aveiros in Eretz Yisrael, then Eretz Yisrael is going to vomit you out. The mitzvah yishuv Eretz Yisrael applies to everybody. But if a Baal Aveir moves to Eretz Yisrael, so it's a bigger Aveir. Merbin Malchus in front of the palace in the Palton Shomel, so it's a greater Aveir. So this is, the Avnei Nezer has a very long, fascinating tshuva. All of his tshuvas are very sharp, and always very much to the point and very fascinating. So he speaks about the importance of living in Eretz Yisrael. This was the beginning of Hakamas HaMedina. For so many years, they didn't let any Jews come to Eretz Yisrael, and the Jews came to Eretz Yisrael, even though they did come under the British. In the late years, they didn't let Jews come. Even when it was possible for Jews to come, how would they make a parnassah? There was no way to make a living. Nothing. The whole place was desolate. It was a dry area. It was Midbar Shmama. So that's what happened after Hakamas HaMedina. It was possible for the Jews to come, and many, many Jews came on Aliyah. So that's what to celebrate. Gemara tells us in the first Perek in Yuma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry when he gave Bnei Yisrael the opportunity to come back to Eretz Yisrael in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah. And the overwhelming majority of the people did not come. Most of the religious Jews stayed behind in Babel. They didn't want to go to the Zionists, Eretz Yisrael. Who they have there in Eretz Yisrael? They had the Gerim, and the Mamzerim, and the Chalolim, and the Nesinim, and the Kusim. Asori Yuchsin Olei Moimi Babel. Mora says that when they came to Eretz Yisrael, there was such a mix of Psulei Kol, everybody was there. The religious people with the good Yichus remained behind in Babel. And the Jews in Babel wouldn't want to intermarry with the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. The Mora tells the story that Rav Chiya was a star student of Rabbi Yudah Nasi. He came from Babel to Eretz Yisrael to learn by Rabbi Yudah Nasi. So Rabbi Yudah Nasi wanted him to take out his daughter. That he wasn't interested. Not that the girl wasn't good looking. I should marry a girl who's a Suffolk Mamzeris. He wouldn't, the Jews from Babel wouldn't marry anybody from Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Yudah Nasi felt insulted. So he says, my Torah is kosher, my daughter is not kosher. What's the matter? Why aren't you interested? They didn't answer. He didn't marry his daughter. He married someone else. He didn't want it. The Gemara says in the last Perek in Kedushin that all of the Jews who came back to Eretz Yisrael, some of them were miyuchasim, but most of them were such an isa. And isa means such a mixture. Gemara has an expression, Eretz Yisrael is Isa Lebavel. Eretz Yisrael is like a dough, like a woman is baking a cake, so she throws in a pinch of this and a pinch of that and a pinch of that. Yes, how do you make the cake? She can't give you a recipe. You just throw in intuitively a little bit of this, a little bit of that. It's an Isa that has everything mixed in. And the Gemara says that the Zionists who moved to Eretz Yisrael in the days of Ezra Nehemiah had a lot of psulei kol. There were a lot of problems there. Everything was all mixed in together. And the kosher Jews, the religious Jews, stayed behind in Babel. So one might have thought that they did right. They didn't want to mix in with these people. So the Gemara says they didn't do right. And the Baruch Shalom was angry. He was angry at the Bnei Yisrael. So that's what we celebrate, the fact that in 1948 the Medina was established, and it gave an opportunity to have another Shiva Sion. It gave an opportunity for more people to move into Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael was, all the years that it wasn't under Jewish control, it fulfilled the Nevuah that says in the Chumash, and that says in the Eicha, and says in the other Sifrei Nevi'im, Chosa ki almona, not an almona whose husband died, but like an almona b'chaim, like an aguna, whose husband is missing, and the wife is not Mizana, she waits for the husband to come back. So too, Eretz Yisrael waited for the Bnei Yisrael to come back. And it really didn't give its Paris all along. When the Crusaders came, and the Turks came, and the British came, whoever took over Eretz Yisrael was never successful in making anything out of it. Until the Jews took over Eretz Yisrael, 1948, before and after, when the Jews came. So then they established the kibbutzim, yeshuvim, and things were growing, and things were hopping and popping and happening. So that was the siman, that was the Ein Lecha Keitz Megula Mizeh, that was the siman, that Eretz Yisrael really belongs to the Jewish people. We celebrate a third thing, on the occasion of Hakamas HaMedina. The Gemara tells us in Yevamos, in the end of Habu'al Yevimtoi, Gemara says that the end of Perek Habu'al Yevimtoi, in the middle of Yevamos, the Mishnah discusses the significance of the Mitzvah of Pirur Rivian, that every person is supposed to get married and have children. And even after he's fulfilled the mitzvah Pirur Rivian, the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Kohelis that says, "Barbekes ra'as erecha v'la'erev al tanoch yadecha," that the farmer should plant the field in the morning, and even in the evening he should continue to work on the farm. He shouldn't be lazy later on. So what is that alluding to? It means a person should always be industrious. So not to be a workaholic, but he should put in a full day's work. That's what it means. So the Gemara has additional levels of interpretation in the Pasuk. So the Gemara says, even if a person already had children when he was young, he should try to have more children even in his old age, because as the Pasuk continues, you can never tell, and the Pasuk continues, because you can never tell which pears will turn out to be better. Maybe the pears that you planted in the morning will not succeed. Maybe the stuff that you plant in the evening, in the afternoon, will be more successful. But the Gemara says, maybe the children that you had in your youth will not be so good. Maybe you weren't such a good father. You've never had any courses on fathering children, parenting children, and then you learn from experience. And maybe the children that you have in your old age will be better children, because you'll be a more experienced parent. One possibility. So that's what the Gemara says. That's the mitzvah of La'erev Atanach Yadecha. That's discussed in the Shulchan Aruch. That even after a person already fulfilled the mitzvah of Pirbirib, you shouldn't close up shop. You should try to have more children. As the Yizgana should try to have more. Then the Gemara says the same is true regarding Talmidim. Even if a person was a Rebbe and he had a lot of success in teaching Torah, he shouldn't retire at an early age. As long as he's still able to transmit Torah to the students, he shouldn't retire. They should keep on teaching. As the Pasuk says, you can never tell which Talmidim will be those who will be successful, whether the Talmidim from the early years, the Talmidim from the later years. And then the Gemara tells the sad story about Rabbi Akiva, that he had 48,000 students, tremendous success, 48,000 students. And then they all died in a period of time, in 1 year it sounds like, between Pesach and Shavuos, because of whatever it says there, well, the love and covetous that was there, they all died. And the whole world was desolate from Liman HaTerah. There was a Churban HaTerah, 48,000 rabbinical students studying for ordination. 12,000. I forgot. So 24,000 rabbinical students. So it says, the whole world was desolate from Torah until Rabbi Akiva came to a new location. And he started teaching Torah anew, and this time he didn't have the 24,000 or the 12,000, whatever the number is, didn't have so many. He just had 5-6 students, and those were the famous Talmidim. That was Rav Shimon and Rav Yudah and Chveitz. I already forgot all the time. Rav Meir, all the famous Tanoim. And then the Gemara says, and it turned out that was his whole success. All the students from before, they all died out. And then there was again a resurgence of Torah after that. So that's why in Shulchan Aruch it's quoted that we observe, and it's quoted in the Gemara, that we observe a period of Avelas this season of the year, because the Gemara says it was this season of year that the students of Rabbi Akiva died. So when there's a big Churban HaTorah, you're supposed to observe Avelas. That's a tragedy for the whole world. And when later on this is there's a resurgence in Torah, so there's what to be excited about, there's what to celebrate. So that's what happened on the occasion of the Hakamas HaMedina as well. Not necessarily that this is what the founders of the Medina had in mind. I don't think the religious or the anti-religious ever had this in mind. But Lamai said that's what happened. During the years of the Second World War, there was a war going on for so long, they were killing Jews all over. There was such a Churban HaTorah. All the yeshivas in Europe were destroyed. So many Rabbanim, so many Tzaddikim, so many Talmid HaChamim were all destroyed. And the yeshiva students, many of them were killed, many of them were sent to Siberia, scattered all over the world, and there was a tremendous Churban HaTorah. And then afterwards, after the establishment of Medinas Yisrael, so many of them were saved to Eretz Yisrael. And not only were things, was there a resurgence in Eretz Yisrael of each one of the Hasidic dynasties, and each one of the Labatki yeshiva, and Miri yeshiva, and Telzi yeshiva, each yeshiva with its own style of learning, the Poilusha with the Galatiana, with the Litvisha, each one re-established. But what we have now is a system that all the Jews in America send their children to learn in Eretz Yisrael for a year or two. When they come back, they have a hashpah. It has a tremendous hashpah on the children, it has a tremendous hashpah when they come back on the parents and on the siblings. It's a resurgence of Torah. So there's certainly what to celebrate. We see the fulfillment of the Pasuk in Yitzhiyin Taitzah Sered Barasham Yerushalayim, that there's a tremendous power of Liman HaTorah in Eretz Yisrael. Even though Liman HaTorah is not for the agricultural mitzvahs, it's not for the mitzvahs HaTluyis Boretz, so it should be Nahegis Bein Boretz or Bein Mechutz Loretz, and it does. Mitzvah Liman HaTorah applies all over the world, but somehow the Tanakh does speak about the significance of Liman HaTorah in Eretz Yisrael as opposed to Chutzpah. So when we have a new Kabbalah HaTorah Mechadosh, that certainly is a special occasion to celebrate. The Gemara in Chagiga and Daf Hei on the base quotes the Psukim that speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu shedding tears in Yirmiyah. So the Gemara says that if you add together, the pasuk sounds like it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheds three tears every day. What is he crying about? So the Gemara has different suggestions. So the first suggestion is Shalosh Tamaros Halol Olamo. One tear that he sheds is Al Mikdash Rishon. That was Chariv. One tear on the Mikdash Sheni Shacharev, and one tear on Shagali Yisraelim Koyma. And the fact that the Jews went into Golus. The Ikad Yami, another version has it, one on Mikdash Rishon, one on Mikdash Sheni, one on Bitul Torah. The fact that there's so much Bitul Torah. Take the Gemara, but the pasuk says, how does it come to Bikul Torah? It says Kinishba Eder Hashem, says the fish, because Goli Solim Kama. The Gemara says no. Kinish Goli Solim Kama, Enoch Bikul Torah, God only there. That's what the pasuk means. That pasuk in Yirmiyah that says HaKadosh Baruch Hu shedding tears because the Jewish people went into Golos, that means because they went into Golos, that's why there's such a Bitul Torah. When the Jewish people will return back to Eretz Yisrael, there will be a resurgence in Liman HaTorah. That's what the Gemara says in Chagiga. So that's what we saw in our generation. That for quite a few years, there was a tremendous Bitul Torah. And then after the Medina was established, there's a tremendous resurgence in Liman HaTorah. So many people learning Daf Yomi. So many people learning a lot of things now. So that's definitely cause for celebration and for rejoicing. Another cause for celebration is also mentioned here in the Gemara, also a pasuk in Yirmiyah, same perek, Yirmiyah chapter Yud Gimel. The Gemara says that usually HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not always happy about things that are going on in the world. He doesn't demonstrate it, but just because things are happening, it doesn't mean that it's with his approval. Just because you have things going on in Chief University doesn't mean that Dr. Lam approves, doesn't mean the Rebbe's approved. A lot of things happen, Shaloi B'tzayim Chachami. So a lot of things happen in the world and the Rebbe Shalom is not happy. Because there were so many millions of Jews killed, doesn't mean that the Rebbe Shalom is masking about everything that happens. There are tragedies, people dying, there are tragedies all the time. So the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't show his feelings on the outside. He cries, so to speak. The Gemara quotes the pasuk also in Yirmiyah. B'mistarim tivke nafshi, the same chapter in Yirmiyah, Yud Gimel. B'mistarim tivke nafshi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries privately. We don't see him crying, but when no one is watching, so to speak, he's not happy about what's happening in the world. The Gemara says on one occasion, on the occasion of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, then it was even obvious, it was even apparent that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was unhappy. The Gemara says because that's the whole tachlis of the creation of the world was that there should be a Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says that's why Shaini Churban Beis HaMikdash, Tafila Malachi Shalom Bachu Shenema, the Gemara quotes Malachi Shalom Ma'ayif Koyim. So the pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is crying. Lo tishmo b'misam tivke nafshi. Why is he crying? Mifnei geva. Mifnei geva. What does it mean, mifnei geva? So the Gemara has two interpretations. So the first interpretation is mifnei gavasim shal Yisrael shenitla mehem, because of the pride of the Jewish nation that was taken away from the Jews. The Jews haven't had any pride for many, many centuries. V'nitna la'ovdei kechavim. The pride of the Jewish people was taken away. So when they established the Medina, the pride of the Jewish people was given back to the Jewish people. After the Second World War, many Jews were afraid to identify themselves as Jews. They were afraid to tell their children that they were Jewish. They were afraid to perform a bris milah on their children. They didn't want to have any physical siman on their body that they were Jewish. They were trying to keep it a secret. They were embarrassed over the fact that they were Jews, and embarrassed and petrified that such a Holocaust can happen again. And after the Medina was established, people became proud of the fact that they were Jewish. When they started making an Israeli parade in London and in Paris and in Los Angeles and in New York City, many people came out of the woodwork. They would wear yarmulkes, but they weren't embarrassed by identifying as Jews. And they would go in the parade, and everybody would get, a lot of people who would normally not wear yarmulkes would wear yarmulkes just in order to identify with Eretz Yisrael, whatever that meant to them. They didn't know exactly what Judaism was, they didn't know exactly what Eretz Yisrael was, but at least they were proud to be Jewish, and the Gemara considers that a significant thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries over the fact that there's no Jewish pride, and then when he gives back the Jewish pride, so he's not crying anymore. So there's what to celebrate. The Baruch Shalom stopped crying. He's crying about other things, okay. It's still what to cry about. There's still many tragedies, but at least the pride of the Jewish people was returned to us. So much. Yeah, there is an Indian to have national pride and to have pride in your country. If the Jews don't have any Medina, so there can't be any national pride. When they get back in Medina, so there is national pride. And the Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Yirmiyah and interprets it, and they gave him Pnei Gavos Mishal Yisrael. That is considered a significant Indian. Another cause for celebration is the next interpretation that the Gemara has on the Hamid base in Chagiga. The Nistarim Titke Napshi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries privately. We don't see it, but he's unhappy about the situation. Mipnei Gevra, so the first interpretation the Amoraim gave was, when thank Avos Mishal Yisrael, because of the pride of the Jewish people, Shinitla Mehan, it was taken away from the Jews, the Nisna loved the Kav. The second interpretation the Gemara gives is Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar, because of the pride of the Jewish religion, the pride of the Jewish people, and the pride of the they said that because the Jews rejected Jesus, they didn't accept him as God, so that's why the second temple was destroyed and the Jews were sent into Golos. The dates don't exactly correspond because Yoshke didn't die at the age of 70. Beis HaMikdash was chor when Yoisel was around 70 years old. According to their story, he was born around the year zero or so, give or take a couple of years. So the second Beis HaMikdash was not destroyed in the year 70, but that's the story, the way they perpetrated such a fraud. That because of the fact that the Jews didn't accept Jesus as God, that's why they were punished, and the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and we lost our status as the Yam HaNivchar, and we will never be entitled to return to Eretz Yisrael until we will accept Jesus. Because they, the Christians, the followers of Yashke, they are the real Yam HaNivchar. We are not the Yam HaNivchar. So that's why, historically, the Catholic Church was always opposed from day number one. They were opposed to the Zionist movement. They were publishing all the time in their newspapers their reaction towards the Zionist movement. They said that because the Jews rejected Jesus, they didn't accept him as God, so that's why the second temple was destroyed and the Jews were sent into Golos. the dates don't exactly correspond, because Yoshke didn't die at the age of 70. Beis HaMikdash was started when Yoizel was around 70 years old. According to their story, he was born around the year zero or so, give or take a couple of years. So the second Beis HaMikdash was not destroyed in the year 70, but that's the story, the way they perpetrated such a fraud, that because of the fact that the Jews didn't accept Jesus as God, that's why they were punished, and the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and we lost our status as the Yama Nivchar, and we will never be entitled to return to Eretz Yisrael until we will accept Jesus. Because they, the Christians, the followers of Yashke, they are the real Yama Nivchar. We are not the Yama Nivchar. So that's why, historically, the Catholic Church was always opposed from day number one. They were opposed to the Zionist movement. They were publishing all the time in their newspapers their reaction towards the Zionist movement when it first started a long time ago. So they said it's against their according to their beliefs, it's never going to come off the ground. The Jews will never establish a Medina. So they were always against it, because the Jews are supposed to be damned and punished because they rejected Jesus, and they're not going to come back to Eretz Yisrael. So that's why even after the Medina was established, they were stunned. How can it be? But it's one of the Alimamans in their religion. The Jews will never return to Eretz Yisrael, so they never recognized the Medina all along. And they were hoping it was going to go away. They were hoping it was going to disappear, but it didn't disappear. So they had to develop a teretz. So the official teretz that they developed over the years, after a couple of years of the Medina remaining, so the teretz was, but they don't have the real Eretz Yisrael, the real Makor. They have Tel Aviv, they have the modern city Yerushalayim, but they don't have the Eir Atika, that's the real old city of Yerushalayim, they don't have. So this was the teretz, the official teretz, until Melchemet Sheshet Hayamim. After Melchemet Sheshet Hayamim, so that teretz was off. So you got to say the Oyesh Lama. So what are you going to give another teretz? They didn't know what teretz to say. So at that time, the official position of the Catholic Church was, right away, we have to internationalize Jerusalem. It means to take away Jerusalem from the Jews. So we'll have our first teretz will be the correct teretz, that the Jews don't have Yerushalayim. So that's what they kept on pressing. Arayam Azeh. When the Pope went to visit Eretz Yisrael, he said again, we have to internationalize Jerusalem. It's not that he has sympathy for the Arabs, he has sympathy for his religion. They have an animamen that the Jews cannot have control of Eretz Yisrael because they haven't accepted Yoshke, because they are not the Yama Nivcha, the Catholics are. The Christians are the Yama Nivcha, and Eretz Yisrael is only for the Yama Nivcha. That's what we say. Eretz Yisrael is for the Yama Nivcha, except that we hold that we are the Yama Nivcha, and they hold that they're the Yama Nivcha. This was an old debate from the beginning of the Christian movement. The Gemara has a debate. The Gemara records a debate on the same daf, on Ham and Beis, that one of the early Christians, the Minim, is the term the Gemara uses for the early Christians. So he had a debate in pantomime in the presence of the king with Rabbi Shua, who was it? Rabbi Shua ben Hananya. So he was demonstrating in pantomime the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rejected the Jewish people, that we are no longer the Yama Nivcha, implying that they are the Yama Nivcha. And Rabbi Shua ben Hananya said, no, we are the Yama Nivcha. We suffer so much. No, like a parent gives pech to his child, doesn't mean that he doesn't love the child anymore. He loves the child, and he's going to see to it that he's going to straighten out the child. So the status of Yama Nivcha has not been lost. So this was the Christian claim for many, many centuries, that the Jews don't have control of Eretz Yisrael. So they lost their status of Yama Nivcha, and they are the Yama Nivcha. And it was a bizoyenim quote shamayim. It was an embarrassment to the Jewish religion. So at the occasion of the Hakamas Hamdina, the Catholic Church didn't care the fact that most of the Miyazni Hamdina were apikursim, shumadim, tziyonim. They didn't care about that. The Jews have a Medina. That can't be. They should have said the parents that they're not Jewish. They should have said, they didn't realize that then. Why? Because the perception is, it's a Jewish country, it doesn't matter, religious, not religious, anti-religious, it didn't matter to them. How can it be that there's a Jewish government controlling Eretz Yisrael, so they perceive that as a serious problem to their religion? So that's what the Gemara says. The second interpretation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was crying, that same pasuk in Yirmiyah, chapter Yigimim, think of Asav Shamalchu Shamayim, because of the fact that there was an embarrassment, there was a busha to the Jewish religion, that Eretz Yisrael is no longer controlled by the Jewish people, and the Umas Olam are dancing, and they're claiming that the Jews are no longer the Yama Nivcha. So when you have a Hakamas HaMedina, you have a Jewish government controlling Eretz Yisrael, so you have Gavasa Shamalchu Shamayim, the Jewish religion is more the covetic than it was before. There's more covet. There was no covet at all. At least now there is covet. a sixth occasion, sixth reason for celebration is what the people from Merkez Harav Kook emphasize. They're young people, so they weren't around to realize the first five things. So they celebrate the sixth. The sixth is Malchus Yisrael, a mitzvah. One of the Tayag mitzvahs HaTorah is that we have to have a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. There's Malchus HaMasoilam and there's Malchus Yisrael. So when you have a Jewish government controlling Eretz Yisrael, this is not a mitzvah. So you celebrate over the occasion, over the opportunity to fulfill another mitzvah of having a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. Forget about the fact that having a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael gives more kavod to Malchus Shamayim, gives more kavod to the Jewish religion, gives more kavod to the Jewish people. Forget about all that. Just say Malchus Yisrael is a mitzvah. One of the mitzvahs of Torah, to have Malchus Yisrael. The mitzvah b'shleimusa would have been to have a kingdom as opposed to a democracy. And the mitzvah b'shleimusa would have been that it should be a Malchus Beis David, the official Malchus HaNefcheres. But under the circumstances, apparently, we're not ready for that. We're not ready for a kingdom. We're not ready for a Malchus Beis David either. So whatever, we have a government in Eretz Yisrael, so that's a partial mitzvah, the partial fulfillment of the mitzvah of having Malchus Yisrael. One of the yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, which was founded by people who learned Merkez Harav, decided one year they're going to learn Sanhedrin, so they're going to start from the second parak in Sanhedrin. What's that, the second parak? Some people learn Sanhedrin from the beginning because they want to learn Choshen Mishpat, and they skip the second parak. No, they're starting from the second parak. Second parak is Perak Kain Gadol, has all the Dina Mamelech. That's where we begin, Malchus Yisrael. So they start from the beginning of the parak about the Dinam of Kain Gadol, but right away you get into the Hilchos Melech. And you have later in Sanhedrin some aspects of Melech HaMashiach at the end of Sanhedrin. But that's certainly a reason to celebrate. We now have our Malchus Yisrael, which is a mitzvah that we hadn't had the opportunity to fulfill for many years. The people from Merkez Harav Kook are often attacked as being messianists. They have this frenzy that the Medina is leading to Bias HaMashiach, and therefore they do crazy things. It's not really their fault, this concept. This was instituted by two Rabbi Kook, Harishon, the father of Tzvi Yehuda Kook, the first chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael, had two traditions. His mother was from Lubavitch, and his father learned in Volozhin. So his mother had traditions from the Baal Shem Tov, and his father had traditions from the Vilna Gaon, from Chaim Volozhiner. So the tradition from both was, the tradition from the Baal Shem Tov as well as the tradition from the Vilna Gaon was, and this is printed up in English and Hebrew and other languages, that they both encouraged their followers. The Baal Shem Tov encouraged his Hasidim, his Talmidim, and the Vilna Gaon encouraged his Talmidim. They should all move to Eretz Yisrael, and this will hasten the coming of Mashiach. This will somehow bring about, based on Kabbalah sources, which I'm not familiar with, this will hasten the coming of Mashiach. Do we have an obligation to hasten the coming of Mashiach, or is it just a good idea? It's certainly a nice idea that we should hasten the coming of Mashiach. Do we have an obligation? So what opinion in the Gemara, in the end of our volume, again, in the Sugya of Piri Verivya, is that that's exactly the nature of the mitzvah of Piri Verivya. The obligation to have children is in order to hasten the coming of Mashiach. That's what that mitzvah means. The Baruch Shel Olam created a world, and it's an incomplete world, and he promised that he's going to make a tikkun, he's going to redeem the whole world in the future, not just redeem the Jewish people, he's going to redeem the whole world and bring it to its state of perfection. That's Limos HaMashiach. And we have the opportunity to help HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How so? By fulfilling Piri Verivya. How does that work? Mayin Shmita Itzel HaSina. So the Gemara has a tradition, Ein Ben David Bo, Achiyich L'Kol Neshama Sheba Guf, that there is a chamber in heaven that's known as Guf, where all of the Jewish souls reside. And every time another Jewish baby is born, so another soul comes down from heaven and enters into the body of that Jewish baby. So the more people get married and have babies and have children, so the faster Mashiach will come. If you're going to wait till age 50 to go get married, and you're going to have only one or two children instead of having 15 children each, so it's going to take forever for Mashiach to come. Everyone should marry young, marry as many wives as he can. Each wife should have 25 children. You hasten the coming of Mashiach. So that's one opinion in the Gemara. That's the opinion we happen not to accept. We don't pass like that. Because we pass in that that's not the nature of the mitzvah period. We agree with what he said, that we have an obligation to do whatever we can to hasten the coming of Mashiach. And we agree with what he said, bringing another Jewish baby into the world means bringing down another soul from that chamber in heaven that's known as Guf, and that does hasten the coming of Mashiach, but the nature of the mitzvah period is not that. The Gemara says, we paskin, there's a machlekes lalacha, we paskin if one had children and they died before they themselves had children, then he's not in fulfillment of period of Rivi. According to the first opinion, that the idea behind the mitzvah period of Rivi is just to hasten the coming of Mashiach, and every Jewish baby is born, brings out another soul, another neshama. So from this chamber that's known as Gups, even if the children die, self goes up, you brought down another soul. Next, time for the next soul to come down. Every baby is born, brings down another soul. So we paskin that that is not the nature of the mitzvah period. Period is you have to have children who will survive, to whom you will transmit the Jewish values, to transmit the Torah to the next generation. But we do agree that that there is such an obligation facing the coming of Mashiach. So that's what the what do we do? What do we do to hasten the coming of Mashiach? So we pray Takarish Bocha. The Rambam writes in the Tshuvas, we pray Takarish Bocha every day. The Baruchon has control over the matter. We don't have the control over Mashiach. So we pray Takarish Bocha, who does have the control, that he should hasten the coming of Mashiach. The Rambam writes in Geres Hashmad, I think, or Geres Taman, one of those two famous letters, that the fact that we daven every day for the coming of Mashiach is a fulfillment of this mitzvah midiri kabbalah. It appears in the Treyasa, I think, that we have to be mitzapah for the coming of Mashiach, hakeilo. We have to try to do whatever we can to hasten the coming of Mashiach. We have such a din in Bikur Cholim. The Gemara says in the Dharm, the mitzvah Bikur Cholim is not so much to visit the sick, but rather to heal the sick. Mitzvah Bikur Cholim is to heal the sick. So if a person is a doctor, he can heal the sick. What if a person is not a doctor? So the Gemara says Rabbi Akiva was not a doctor, but one of his students, he had, what do you say, 24,000 students. The Gemara says one of his students didn't show up in Beis Medrash and he noticed that he wasn't there. I only have 25 students. I don't notice when someone is not there. He had 24,000 students and he noticed that one of the students wasn't there one day, so he went to the dormitory to find out why the kid didn't wake up for Minyan. Why wasn't it Seder? Turned out that the kid was sick. So the Gemara says that he washed his pajamas and he washed the floor and he changed the sheet and the kid got better. When you make sanitary conditions in the dormitory so the sick patients get better. So he fulfilled, this is quoted in the Dharma in the Sugya of Bikur Cholim. So that's considered a kiyum mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. Mitzvah of Bikur Cholim is not so much to visit the sick, but rather to heal the sick. If the sick person is taken care of, he has doctors and nurses and medication and everything and sanitary conditions and someone else is washing his pajamas, so what's left for us to do? So what's left for us is to put him in a cheerful mood. Sometimes when you visit the sick and you put him in a happy mood, sometimes the guy is upset that he came to visit. He would have been happier that he wouldn't visit. So then there's no mitzvah bikachel. It's not your mitzvah. It's the mitzvah to make him feel better. So if you know that he's not happy when you come, so you're not supposed to go visit. But if you cheer him up, so being in a good mood sometimes also helps in the process of recuperation. So the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, at the end of Yerideya, you have the mitzvah Bikur Cholim. So the Ramah quotes the Ramban and not Gemara in the Dorm, that Ramban has a right from the Gemara, that if a person visits the patient and he changes his sheets and he washes his pajamas and he gives him medication and everything, but he doesn't offer a prayer that the Cholim should get better, so the Ramban shows from the Gemara that you're not fully out to the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim because you didn't do the maximum that was in your ability to hasten the refuah of the patient, because you should have offered a prayer to the Baruch Shalom, who was the Rekha Kolbas and Afli Lassos. You should have offered a prayer that he should get better. If you didn't pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you're not fully out to the mitzvah. The mitzvah of Bikur Cholim is to do whatever you possibly can to help the recuperation of the patient. So the same over here. We do have an obligation to hasten the coming of Mashiach. What can you do? So you can have children. Okay, that's one way. That's correct. And another way is to offer a prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who does control the situation. That's what the Rambam writes. That prayer, that bracha was placed into the Shemoneh Esrei as a fulfillment of this mitzvah midiri kabbalah, to do whatever you can to hasten the coming of Mashiach. So that's a tradition. That's not Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook didn't invent it. And Chief Rabbi Kook, the father, didn't invent it either. This was a tradition that he had from both sides of his family, both from the Hasidim and from the Misnagdim. And much was written about this. But both the Baal Shem Tov and the Vilna Gaon said, based on Kabbalah sources, that the significance of moving to Eretz Yisrael is not only for its own sake, to fulfill the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, and to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, it's to hasten the coming of Mashiach. Somehow that will help in forcing the issue HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring Mashiach. Another significant eighth Inyan that we celebrate every year in commemoration of Hakamas Hamdina is the importance of establishing whom does the country belong to? Who does the land belong to? So Rashi in his opening remarks on Chumash quotes that the Umas Ha'olam, Rashi quotes a Medrash, that the Umas Ha'olam claim listim atem, the Jews are ganovim, that they stole Eretz Yisrael from them. Soloveitchik used to say years ago, it sounds like he just read that in the New York Times. Every day in the United Nations he used to say, listim atem, the Jews are ganovim. He said, Rashi, the first Rashi on Chumash, he quotes the complaint of the Umas Ha'olam, the perennial complaint, every year the same complaint, Adayim Hazeh, every year they keep on complaining that the Jewish people stole Eretz Yisrael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says in Tehillim, Korach Ma'asim Higin L'Yama Losas Lehem Machnas Goyim. What was the significance of writing the whole Sefer Bereishis? What do you need it for? If the Torah is supposed to be a collection of mitzvahs, start from HaKadosh Azalachem. That's what Rashi quotes in the name of the Medrash from Omer Rav Yitzchok. He says, Koyach Ma'isib Higin Li'ama, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the whole background that he created, Shemayim Ba'aretz, Losas Lehem Nachlos Goyim. He told us this in order to explain that he's the boss, he owns the whole world, and whatever he says goes. And he decided to give Eretz Yisrael to the Umas Ha'olam years ago, and then he decided to give it to Avraham Avinu. And from the time that Avraham Avinu walked around Eretz Yisrael, Kum Hesal Baruch La'orka L'rach B'kiruch Ha'atinenu, he gave Eretz Yisrael to Am Yisrael, and we never lost our ownership all the years. Sometimes you have a ganav who steals your property and you can't get it. But then when you get it back, you're not acquiring a new ownership. It belonged to me all along. So too, Eretz Yisrael belonged to the Jewish people all along, not from 1948. We're not celebrating that we finally got ownership over Eretz Yisrael. No, we got sovereignty. We established sovereignty. We established a Jewish government, a state, a Medina Yisrael, but ownership of the land always belonged to the Jewish people. Eretz Yisrael is the one place in the world that's exempt, that's excluded from the international principle of Kibush Mochama. Everything else, all Karka, all Metaltalim, is subject to the rule of Kibush Mochama. That's a cloud that's developed in Gittin, Amdaf Lamed Ches, Amdaf Lamed Tes, that whenever you had one country wages war against the other country, Shaila, how do you determine country and how do you determine war? The Dvar Avram talks about that, and he quotes from the Mira Rav. He sent him a letter, what's the definition? So the Mira Rav said, whenever the perception is, whenever the history books write that there was one country wage war against another country, and one country, whoever wins the war, whether right or wrong, whether the good guys won or the bad guys won, doesn't make a difference who won. Whoever wins the war acquires ownership of all of the property, the karka, with the metalkalim, with the people. The only people is Avadim, and the one and only exception to the rule. The Gemara says the rule applies whether one non-Jewish nation wins a war against another non-Jewish nation, whether a non-Jewish nation wins a war against the Jewish people, or the Jewish people wins a war against the non-Jewish people. Doesn't matter who won the war against whom, with the one exception of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael was promised, was given to Avraham Avinu, and was promised to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov that it will always be in the ownership of the Jewish people. We never lost our ownership during the 70 years of Golos Bavel. We didn't lose our ownership at the occasion of the Churban Bayis Sheni. Eretz Yisrael always belonged to the Jewish people. And this is what, there used to be a fellow by the name of Abba Ibn, he's an old man now. Abba Ibn was not so religious, unfortunately, but he was the Israeli representative to the United Nations. He used to speak a British English, so that's why they liked the way he spoke. So in his British English, when he used to represent the Jewish Israel in the United Nations, he would always quote the Bible. He would open up a big fat Bible, and he would read some Pesukim and Bereishis in English that God gave Abraham Eretz Yisrael. Our claim to Eretz Yisrael is the Bible. Our claim to Eretz Yisrael is not the Melchemet HaShechur 1948. If it's Melchemet HaShechur, so some Chacham is going to come up and say that was illegal, we had no right to, a whole argument. It has nothing to do with the 1948, nothing to do with the British. The British were Ganovim, and the Turks before them were Ganovim, and the Crusaders were Ganovim. Eretz Yisrael never had any Sheikhs with any of them. It belonged to the Jewish people all along. So we are happy. HaKadosh Baruch is Mevar Mikcha Shel Tzadik. Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Jewish people. 1948, he gave it back to us, he gave us back what belonged to us all along. And we celebrate about that. We're happy about the fact that we finally got back the land that belongs to us. That's a Chshivus. The ownership of Eretz Yisrael will always have. The sovereignty, that began in 1948. And the Gemara says in the end of Megillah, the last half of Megillah, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the bris, the covenant with Avraham Avinu over Eretz Yisrael, so Avraham Avinu asks him, Bamo Eida Ki Yirashenu. What kind of a question is that? That's on Lamed Aleph from the base. Bamo Eida Ki Yirashenu, how do I know they're going to keep your promise? Sounds like a chutzpah question. The Mesillas Nishan quotes from the Bereshis Rabbah that one of the Amoraim is of the opinion that Taka Avraham Avinu was punished because he said Bamo Eida Yirashen, because he said that exception Bamo Eida. That's how Kavish Brocha said, oh boy, Yadoa Teira, you're going to know, Yadoa Teira, Yizarach Bereshalayim, you're going to suffer Golas Mitzrayim because of your questioning me, how do I know that you're going to keep your promise? So that opinion in the Medrash assumes that Avraham Avinu's question was out of place. This was off limits. This, how do I know you're going to keep your promise? What kind of a chutzpah question is that? But the Gemara has a tradition, this is what's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, Gemara has a tradition that he asked a good question. So he's asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in what chutz will my descendants, will I and my descendants have the right to maintain sovereignty over Eretz Yisrael? Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Jewish people, always belong to the Jews, fine. But then, when we have sovereignty, what chutz do we have to have in order to maintain sovereignty? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Kol Yegle Mushaleshes V'chulei. So what does that mean? B'schus ha-karbonis, that the Jewish people should bring karbonis. Avraham Avinu asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Teinach b'zman shel beis hamikdash kayam. This is good when you have the opportunity, when you have the possibility to bring karbonis. B'zman shein beis hamikdash kayam matay aleim. What right will the Jewish people have to maintain sovereignty over Eretz Yisrael when they don't have the opportunity to bring karbonis? The Ribbono Shel Olam said, let them at least display an interest in bringing karbonis. Malane aleim, kilu hikrivum. U'mechel ani al kol ha-benisein. At least if they'll demonstrate Vatikan to lehem seder karbonis, let them recite parshas ha-karbonis, let them demonstrate an interest in bringing karbonis. If they don't demonstrate an interest in bringing karbonis, then the Taka don't have the right to maintain sovereignty over Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael always belonged to the Jews, whether we like it or not, whether they like it, whether the Goyim like it or not, belongs to the Jewish people. But the right to maintain a sovereign, an independent Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael is only if either you bring in karbanis or you do the best that you can to display your interest in bringing karbanis. If you demonstrate that you couldn't care less, you're not interested in bringing any karbanis, then you have no right to maintain your sovereignty over Eretz Yisrael. So we celebrate on this occasion the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the sovereignty. Eretz Yisrael was the ownership of the Jewish people all along. He finally gave it back. It was Mevar Mikcha Shel Tzadik. It belongs to the Jews. And we realize the challenge. We have to see to it that we should try to prepare for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. There's another reason why we celebrate, a ninth reason why we're celebrating, and that's why this date was chosen, Hey Year. This date is when they signed the Declaration of the Medina. If I'm not mistaken, I think Hey Year in 1948 was on Erev Shabbos, and Vav Year was on Shabbos, and the British mandate was over Eretz Yisrael at midnight, in the middle of the night. So it wasn't really legal that they should declare a Medina on Erev Shabbos. They had to wait till after midnight. But because they were sure that there would be a lot of Chil Shabbos, if they were they going to sign a declaration after midnight? So they made the declaration on Erev Shabbos to avoid most of the people who were signing were not Shomer Shabbos. Rubam were not Shomer Shabbos, but some of them were. So they signed the declaration of the Medina on Erev Shabbos. So it's really Hey Year, Vav Year. And it was May 5th, I think it corresponded. Hey Year was May 5th, if I'm not mistaken. No, it wasn't? 14th.
14th is Friday, 15th is Shabbos.
Ah. So the, that year, if I'm not mistaken, in Eretz Yisrael, somebody published a manuscript by one of the Talmidim of the Zvon Ligoyen that went under the title Kol HaTor. He speaks about the bulk of the Sefer is about in Yoni Mashiach ben Yosef. Only appears once in the Gemara in Sukkah, but it appears apparently many times in the Zohar. So the Vilna Gaon worked a lot about this inyan, and the Talmud quotes him as saying that Ilo Labasi Lo Olam, even if this is the only thing that he worked out in the area of Torah, is to be Mevard in Yoni Mashiach ben Yosef, so he felt that his life would have been worth it. He did many other things in learning as well, but he said even if he would have only accomplished this, the birurim that he brought about in this area, dayoy, it would have been enough that he came into the world for that. So he has a lot to say there about the inyanim of coming on Mashiach. So he writes there about three dates during the period of Sphere there when important things are going to happen in Eretz Yisrael about coming on Mashiach. So he writes, instead of writing out the dates, he writes the Kabbalah Bechinas of the Sphere. So he writes on the date, and this book was printed before HaKamas HaMedina. So he writes there about Yisod Shebet Teferes and Malchus Shebet Teferes. That corresponds to Hey Year and Vav Year. that something important is going to happen. Then he writes whatever, I already forgot what the Kabbalah combination is for Yom Yerushalayim, for Chav Chasiyah. So after the book was published, no one knew what it was talking about. What does it correspond to until after they established the Medina? It was supposed to be on Gavir, because the British mandate was over at midnight in the middle of Shabbos, but they did in the Hayir. So Rabbi Chalap's grandfather was dancing, he said, oh, now he knows that pshat. Rabbi Chalap did not know this story. Professor Horowitz showed him that he published, Professor Horowitz used to live in Eretz, so he published this story. He remembered where Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalap was so excited, now he knows pshat, and that half of the Kol HaTor. The other half he didn't know what's supposed to happen on Chav Chesir, that he didn't know. That happened Yom Yerushalayim, that happened quite a few years after Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalap passed away. But this was all written up in the Sefer Kol HaTor. Many years later, Rabbi Mendel Kasher, the one who did all the work on the Torah Shlema project, reprinted this fat book, Kol HaTor. The people said it's a forgery. The whole thing is a forgery that he put in the dates after. But there are people still alive today, Professor Horowitz and others, they remember, they saw this little book before Kamas HaMedina. That ain't no forgery. It could be someone forged it. It wasn't Mendel Kasher. Could be someone else forged it. And but they forged it before the Medina. They forged it before Hayir and Bavir. It was in print before Yom Yerushalayim came into being. The whole thing was in print before. It's in Hilchas Yomim Noiroim, it says in Shulchan Aruch that it's not the time of the year that you want to be mekatreg on anybody. Sarah may tshuva, you may elo. So it says that if someone did an avera or something, it's not a good time that Bezim should not put the guy in cherim during Aseret Yom. Wait till after Yom Kippur is up, wait till after Sukkot is over, then you put the guy in Cherem. So then they have a list of other days when you shouldn't start up with other people. And if you have a Din Torah and you want someone to swear, a Shavua Deraisa, you shouldn't have him swear because the Avera will be great if he's swearing La Sheker. So don't do it on Aseret Yom. So they have a whole list of other days of the year. And most of those days of the year, we don't know what they're supposed to correspond to. So they have among the list of the days, Hayir, and no one knows what that's supposed to correspond to. They wrote this in the Sefer Orchas Chaim, in the Sepinka, he quotes this from 100, 200 years before, that nobody knows what this Hayir. They have a whole list of other days. Ara Yamazen, nobody knows what those days are supposed to correspond to. But it's supposed to be a very serious day. Hayir is supposed to be a very serious day. That you don't mess around with people on Hayir, and the Bezin shouldn't be Matul Cherem. You shouldn't be mekatreg on anybody in Klal Yisrael on that day because it's a serious day. Now, why did they pick that day to celebrate? That was the people feel, people argue, that was the day that they established in Medina, that's when the war began, the Mechemet HaShachur began. Wouldn't it make more sense to celebrate when they were successful in completing the war? That they were Yotze B'Shalom from the whole thing. Why do you celebrate when the war began? So the answer is yes. We are celebrating the beginning of the war. The Gemara tells us in Megillah that Melchames is Aschalta de Gula. That the Ramban HaChumash seems to say that the Gula, the term Gula means the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And we celebrate not only on the occasion of the building of the Beis HaMikdash, not only in commemoration of the building of the Beis HaMikdash, we celebrate in anticipation of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. When something significant occurs and we know that this is going to lead to the building of the Beis HaMikdash, it's called Aschalta de Gula. And that's also cause for celebration, not only on that occasion, but even every consequent year in commemoration of that special occasion. And the Gemara says, Melchames is also an Aschalta de Gula. What Melchames? Rashi writes on the Gemara. Melchames means the wars over who's going to control Eretz Yisrael. Because you don't build a Beis HaMikdash unless you have in order. The Gemara says you have to have Lamed Lamelch, you have to have a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, then you have to have Lach Rezav Shalom Olek, and then you have to have the third step is Lifnas Lam Beis HaBchira. So we are celebrating Taka on Hayir, on the beginning of the war of independence. Every war, we're not thrilled about wars, we're not happy about wars, but these wars that have to do with Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara had a tradition that all of these are leading towards the building of the Beis HaMikdash. That's an Aschalta de Gula, and that is a cause for celebration. The Spasemis writes in his collection of Droshes HaChumash that David HaMelech composed Mizmor Shel Chanukah Nabayis LeDavid. He composed a special Tehillah. Tehillah to be recited in honor of the Chanukah Sabbais. He didn't live so long. He was interested in building the Beis HaMikdash, and the Navi told him he's not allowed to because he was a warrior. And his son is going to be an Yishalim, the son, Shlaim HaMelech, is going to build the Beis HaMikdash. What is he composing? Mizmishu Chanukah Sabbais L'dovit. So the Basen says, yeah, but he was dedicating all the gold and the silver and all the precious metal to Pesukim Sein Devar Yom. He was setting everything aside for the Beis HaMikdash. So he and the Navi told him he's not allowed to build it, but he was still preparing everything in advance. He was celebrating in anticipation of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. There is a concept of celebrating the Aschalt of the Gula. And the Gemara says the Muhammad saw the Aschalt of the Gula. Yet a tenth reason to celebrate. In Parshas Vayelech, we read the way history is going to unfold itself. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Benavuah, it's going to be a long galus, and the Jews are going to come back to Eretz Yisrael, and there's going to be a big tshuva movement. And that's what the Rambam quotes in Hilchos Tshuva. Everybody has bechira chavshes, but for hivticha Torah, the Torah promised us, yisof mishal Yisrael lasas tshuva. That promise is in the end of Chumash Dvarim in Parshas Vayelech. And the way it appears from the Chumash is well as from the Nevi'im itself. And the Nevi'im also, it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make Shiva Sion, and then after Shiva Sion, then he's going to be Metairos. Then there's going to be the Tshuva movement afterwards. It doesn't say first we're going to do Tshuva, and then he's going to bring Mashiach. It says we're going to come to Eretz Yisrael, to Neim, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be Metairos. And the Nevi'im, it says it a few times. That's also a cause for celebration. There's a tremendous Tshuva movement going on in Eretz Yisrael that has impacted on many, many, many people. And it's picking up, as the years go by, it's picking up more and more people. They're not all becoming Shomer Shabbos so quickly, but it's affecting many people. My wife picked up something on email the other day, that some non-religious writer in the newspaper writes. He's a middle-aged person, so he writes he feels cheated that he never had any background in the study of Talmud. Man is not religious. He has a little, in later in life, he said he started reading a little bit Mishnah and Medrash, but Talmud he has no background in, and he feels cheated. He feels that this is our heritage, not religious man. He says this is our heritage. And he encourages the youth to revolt against their parents, that they fly off to Paris to celebrate Pesach, is in English in the email, to celebrate Passover in Paris, just to have a whole year round, to have a good time. He says they should insist that they should stay in Eretz Yisrael and celebrate Passover and find out what the tradition is. Not a religious man, he doesn't plan to keep any mitzvahs. But he says, but the Jewish people have a culture. He says this would be a tragedy to see the whole Medina Yisrael collapse because of the fact that they have rejected their culture. He says we have to restore the culture, we have to go back. So more and more people are going back. I remember many years ago when I visited Eretz Yisrael once in Chodesh Elul, I met Shofet Tal. He used to be a Supreme Court justice. I think he just retired recently, if I'm not mistaken. So he told me that he gives a shiur every week for lawyers and judges, and he wanted me to give the shiur. So I asked him, what are they learning? He said, they're learning Gezel Neshach. So I said, I can't just walk in and give a shiur, and he said, no, shall I give an introductory shiur at the end? So he said, okay. So I come there, so there, two or three women, okay. Then maybe two people, obviously yeshiva bachur, with tzitzis out, with beards, yarmulkes, right? Then the others all look modern people. Two or three had yarmulkes on, the others didn't have. I'm sitting there. And then by the time the shiur begins, everybody has a yarmulke on except for the guy sitting right in front of me. He doesn't wear any yarmulke. But he was the only one who took notes on every sneeze that I said, and he kept on asking questions. I should explain this again, and I should explain that again. And I had a very good feeling. This guy obviously is not religious, but you can't say he's an apikoris lachas. If he comes to a Gemara Shir every week, he didn't come in Mayana, he doesn't know who I am from a hole in the world. He comes to a Gemara Shir every week, he's not religious, and he wants to know, what is the Jewish tradition? What is our heritage? What did our forefathers have to say? And that's what's happening in Eretz Yisrael. We have to see to it that that we should further the tshuva movement. This whole concept of Fahifticha Torah, what the Ramah says, Sofim Shal Yisrael Lasas Tshuva, means that the Bnei Yisrael are attracted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu like a magnet. That's the pasuk in Tehillim that the Balatanya quotes, Ka'ayol Ta'arog Alafikei Moyim, like a gazelle will be drawn towards the stream of water came, Tarek Napshi Elech Hashem. So too, man is drawn, or the Jewish people, I'm not so sure about man in general, but the Jewish person is drawn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu instinctively. And that fact that the Jews are drawn to Eretz Yisrael like a magnet is also the same meaning, because Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is Mashrei Shechinah, sorry. In Eretz Yisrael, the rabbis of the Talmud point out that Kol Ador Be'Eretz Yisrael Kilo Yesh Lo Avakah, Kilo means he doesn't believe in God. He's not observant. Kol Ador Be'Eretz Yisrael Kilo Yesh Lo Avakah. Kol Ador Be'Chutz Lo, even if he is religious, Kilo Ein Lo Avakah. Why? Because there's more Hashgacha Pratis in Eretz Yisrael than there is in the rest of the world. In the Gemara in Tainus, in the first paragraph, the Pasuk in Dvarim, that Eretz Yisrael is any Hashem Elokecha Ba Me'Reishis Hashanah Ba'Rach Yishanah. There's more Hashgacha Pratis in Eretz Yisrael than there is in Chutz Loretz. But because there's more Hashras Hashchina, that's why we assume that the Eretz Yisrael draws the Jewish people to it like a magnet, in the same way that the Shechina, in the same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is like a magnet that he draws the Jewish people to them. Sof Mishal Yisrael Asis Tshuva also implies that Sof Mishal Yisrael, we will all end up in Eretz Yisrael. So these are all the cause for celebration. 10 good reasons to celebrate and more. There are many reasons to celebrate. Why are there those who insist that we should not celebrate? That we should, there's what to cry about? So we understand what they're crying about also. Most of the people who established the Medina did so with the intention of being Perek Ol Torah Mitzvah. The whole purpose of establishing the Medina was that this nationalistic feeling should replace the Jewish religion. As it says in the Hatikva, Liyasam Chavshi Biyatzen. Liyasam Chavshi means, that's not what they meant when they wrote that. But Chavshi today has a connotation of a Perek Ol Mitzvah, a person who's not observant. That's why Baron Soloveitchik always says, if you sing Hatikva, you have to be Magia, that word, you have to say Liyasam Kadosh Biyatzen, instead of saying Liyasam Chavshi Biyatzen. He once spoke at a Torah Masorah conference, and he developed this theme, and some of the Rashi Yeshiva walked out. They weren't interested with the Agor, without the Agor, they weren't interested in the whole list of Hatikva. But, so we understand why many people, there aren't so many, why there's a small group of people who feel that the Bedavki do not want to celebrate, and they feel that Hakamas HaMedina is an occasion to cry, because most of the Miyazdim of the Medina did so for the sake of overturning the religion. But the truth of the matter is that on the occasion of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Medrash tells us, V'chamushim ola b'nei Yisrael mi'eretz Mitzrayim. So Rashi quotes, one shot, one out of five Jews left Mitzrayim. That 80% died, only 20% left Mitzrayim. The other version in the Medrash is, Chamushim is one out of 50. In other words, 98% of the Jews died in the Makas Choshech, and only 2% came out. Like in Makas Truma, 2%. So Kodesh Yisrael Hashem Reishis Tvasa, the Jewish people who came out of Mitzrayim were only 2%. 98% died. The other version of the Medrash is Chamushim, 1 out of 500. The 499 out of every 500 died during the 3 days of Makas Choshech, and only 1 out of 500 came out. So there's what to cry about over this story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That 98% of the Jews, 80%, and 98% are 499 out of 500 died. And only such a small percentage came at it. So we should cry on the occasion of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The answer is, we celebrate, we rejoice over the good part. There was a tragedy that occurred, but we're not celebrating over that. We're celebrating the happy thing. Look, we have many causes to celebrate over the issue of the Hakamas HaMedina. There's what to cry about. But we're not celebrating over the fact that they established, that the non-religious, anti-religious Jews established a Medina that they plan to use in order to undo the whole religion. And we know historically that those people have been bitterly disappointed, they're aggravated to death. They established the Medina. I'll be out of town, I won't be able to give a shiur. On Monday morning at 11 o'clock, the chief rabbi is supposed to give a shiur.